No, man, I think the biggest thing, for passive investors is to just understand, work with experienced people, understand that who you're investing with. You need to put a lot of trust in them because you're not going to be as knowledgeable most of the time about the industry and the deal as they will. So you do have to put a lot of trust in people. Don't be too over analytical and really just find a good sponsor to invest with that you trust.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. I interview the top commercial real estate investors and industry experts so you can learn from their experiences. So if you're an investor, a high W-2 earner, or real estate or tech sales professional that wants to invest in real estate without having to manage properties or leave your day job, then this podcast is for you. Or if you're already investing in real estate, but you're doing it part-time and you want to become a full-time multifamily or full-time commercial real estate investor, this podcast is for you too. You're going to learn a ton. You will learn from real-life multifamily investors and other professionals in the industry. They're going to share their blueprints for success. And I'm super excited that you're here. So I hope you enjoy the show. All right. Hello. Hello. My name is Abel Pacheco. I'm the host of Five Talents Podcast, where we talk about commercial real estate, positive mindsets, financial freedom, among many other topics. And we are super excited today and very grateful, humbled to have an amazing guest, Mr. David Tupin. Dave, how's it going, sir?
What's up? What's up, man? Thanks for having me on. This is great. I appreciate it.
Man, I'm very appreciative as well, my friend. You know, having known you, heard you talk more than a few times all over the internet, meeting in person at an old Rod Cleef event and knowing your partner, you, and just what you've done, I'm very appreciative to have you on. I know you're going to provide a lot of value for our listeners today. So I'm excited, man.
Yeah, me too. No, it's good to be here. Good to see you again. Been about a year, so
yeah,
always good to connect.
At least. So yeah, happy to have you here. Well, for those that don't know David Tupin, let me, just share a couple nuggets with the listeners. He's one of the top millennial real estate investors and really an entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of Obsidian Capital. They're an Austin, Texas-based real estate investment firm. So right up the road from us, being here in San Antonio. And man, Dave's got an amazing story. If you want to hear more of it, I guarantee you're going to want to after listening to this podcast. But he started at the age of 20, bought his first property while he was in college, a 12-unit apartment complex. And by the time he was 25, now you've built this amazing real estate company. You're a key principal in nearly $100 million in multifamily real estate acquired and developed, and just like, around 1,000 units. And you've raised just north of $30 million from private investors, which is pretty mind-blowing in of itself. My mind has been stretched more every day as I am in the commercial real estate world. But then the last part is just your age, man. It just, even more so, I go, oh man, I wish I would have started this when I'm younger. But either way, I'm glad I found it now. And I'm glad I'm learning from individuals like, yourself, just high quality, high caliber, and people like you willing to give back to, the community itself. So man, I'm just super appreciative. So let me turn it over to you. Tell us more about yourself and we'll start digging into what you're doing today.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks for the intro. Yeah. So just, like you said, a little bit about me. I started 5 years ago. All I do is apartments day in and day out. I have two businesses. I have Obsidian Capital, which I'm a co-founder of, and we buy and build apartments. And then I have a software company called Real Estate Lab, and it's a multifamily software solution for the acquisitions platform. We also have a real estate community that we have people in. So multifamily real estate's all I do. I've done everything from live in my apartments, house hack, and renovate units myself, all the way to hiring on-site employees, to raising capital, to financing deals, all of the above. So kind of done a little bit of everything, and we're looking to continue growing the portfolio going forward. So
yeah,
just I love it. It's what I do.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm super excited for the Real Estate Labs part. So if you've heard me talk about underwriting, I don't know if I've talked about your specific tool on this show, but for all the like general partners, passive investors, people that have known me for some time, I always talk about your tool And I talk about your YouTube, like the 101, the 100 unit complete. You've got a few, like a series on YouTube where you use your Excel and then you're walking through it and other people are there. And it just really, it, you know, helped me learn a lot when I was analyzing my first properties and trying to figure this stuff out. So now you're turning that into an official platform, a software.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's cool, yeah. Man. And honestly, it's one of the most underrated parts of this business. Like a lot of people talk about it and there's a lot of fluff that's pushed, but when you get down to business, it's a very financial industry, right? It's very financially driven when you're buying apartments. You need to know the numbers going into a property. And you need to understand the financial impact and what happens after you buy a property, like the taxes, right? You're going to most likely get reassessed. Your insurance is probably going to go up because the previous owner probably had a long-term policy and it didn't increase them a ton every year. But now that you're going out to the market and getting a new policy, you're probably going to get hit with higher costs. So you just need to understand all these things and know where you can manage a property better, where you can add value, how you can increase rents. Can you even increase rents, right? And so I think it's underrated. In my opinion, it's the number one reason why I've been successful is because I understand the numbers and because I spent a lot of time practicing and failing and getting good at it. And so I think anyone who really wants to get into this business, whether you're investing passively or actively and want to be a GP, you just need to understand the numbers. It's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. 2 or more years ago, I literally said, I'm not a financial guy. I don't like Excel. And I, you know, that was the way I described myself for years. I ran a $50+ million business in acquisitions a year for IT hosting. And so we had a lot of professional success, but when it came down to like the P&L, the that part, I was like, it was such a grinder.
It's the most important part. Yeah, it's very important.
And you know, in that business, I had a sales operations team, and they would dig into the numbers and twist them every which way, and they would kind of show me what was happening every month, so I could kind of adjust. But you know, that was a $2 billion business. And now I'm not in a $2 billion business. I'm trying to do it for myself. So you have to get back into, this is startup mode. Let me do it myself. Let me grind in the Excel. And that, you know, that's where all the money's made, right, Dave? So you're trying to
absolutely
underwriting a ton of deals and figuring out which one's which, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you want to get it, I mean, our whole goal with this business is to buy properties and to buy them, not just to buy properties, but to buy them right. And in real estate, you make money when you buy, not when you sell. And I first heard that when I was like 18 years old. It was actually my uncle told me. He did a little bit of real estate. And he was like, Dave, you make money when you buy real estate. And I had to think about it for a minute. I was like, what are you saying? Don't you make money when you sell it? He's like, no, you make money when you buy. And it's all in the buy. If you buy a property right, you're going to make money. You're going to make more cash flow. You're going to have less debt on the property. And you're going to have more of an equity spread when you eventually sell it. So it's so important to understand the numbers going in and make sure that you're buying at the right price. Doesn't matter how cool the property looks, how incredible it is, what amenities it has. If you overpay for it, you're not buying a good deal and you're not going to make money.
Yep.
So yeah. That's really important to me. It's just understanding, making sure we're buying properties at the right price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Old Warren Buffett, you know, kind of mindset, apply that to whatever you are buying. Yeah. Warren Buffett says, hey man, with the right basis, any investment
will amen, do well, dude. Amen. Woo. I agree.
So I love it. Yeah. And, you know, just even hearing you talk, right, that was what you said. One of the main reasons that you've had success today, probably your partnerships, being able to identify opportunities, providing value to other teams, namely one of your big partners today, et cetera, et cetera. It opens up all the world, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason I'm partnered with Glenn, my current business partner, who's had a lot of success, been doing this a lot longer than I have, is because I brought that skill set. And although he understands it very well and he's good at it, he's not the guy that's going to be pushing numbers in Excel. Right. And so he's more of a driver relationship person, you know, talking to brokers, touring deals on the operational side of things. And I am very heavily in the weeds on the acquisition side. And so running numbers, I mean, that's a skill set that I bring to the table.
Yeah. I love it. And also you've raised a ton of capital.
Yeah.
So as you're speaking to investors, I know as a passive investor myself in several hundred doors, you know, I want to know, what does this mean for me? How did you come to those numbers? What, you know, what did you use? What did you plug in now? And I, you know, now I ask better questions, but even the beginning, it was like, well, where does this number come from? Right. And exactly. Being able to explain it.
So I think that helps a lot because I don't get from most people, I don't get a ton of analytical questions, I think, because they understand that I'm going in and doing a lot of that research, the way I explain things. And so I think that's really important. If you're just a salesperson, it's not something that you can be really sales raising money, in my opinion, right? It's relationships and trust and timing. I think are the two biggest things are trust and timing with raising capital from investors. Nobody's ever going to invest with you if they don't trust you. That's the first thing. They got to trust you. And the second thing, it's got to be right timing. A lot of times it just doesn't make sense for people. They're not looking for it. You know, 1 month they're ready to go, the next month they're not. It just kind of depends. So, and trust is built by showing people that you understand how this business works. And this business works via, you know, numbers is one of the things. It's the financial side of things. Obviously, there's a lot more, you know, boots on the ground, putting your eyes in the property, understanding what renovations they need and actually spending time with your, you know, there's a lot more to it than people think. You're not just pressing buttons and on a computer and buying apartment buildings, right? You got to be on site and meet with your team and inspire them and hire good people and, you know, and make sure that work is getting done right and everything's staying organized. But numbers are just a big part of it. And I think when investors know that you understand that portion of this, you know, they're going to be a lot more trusting of you.
Yeah. Yeah. You do the work in advance, you know, making sure like, yeah, I think you really said it well. I'm going to repeat some of your bullets. You said, buy it right, manage it right, add value. And, yeah. You know, we're doing those things. If you can show that you bought it right, then, you know, your data is proven, it's, you know, vetted. And once an investor, you know, vetted you probably once or twice, now it's like, oh, hit the trust button over and over and over again.
I've got a couple dozen people where they just tell me to text them. And I, you know, when I have a deal and I shoot them a text, they're just like, hey, where do I wire the money? And they don't even need to see the deal. So, you know, but that's built over years of performing. And because I've been patient and I've gone periods of 12 to 15 months where I haven't bought a single deal. And then I'll close on 400 units in 1 month, you know? So it's like, it really is a part of it is being patient and waiting for the right deal. You can't manage your way out of a bad buy. But if you buy right and you manage it poorly, there are still ways where you can make money, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't buy right, it doesn't matter how great you manage it. You know, there's a chance that things might go south.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And then just like you kind of said too, is practicing, failing, you know, figuring it out. This is a fun one. I have a feeling in the amount of underwriting you've done or the amount of deals you've analyzed. And I'll share those for maybe those that haven't quite dug into the underwriting yet. Right. I used to sell Cutco knives. I don't know if you've heard of Cutco.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I used to sell Cutco knives. I was in college. I ran my own office. They asked me to, you know, start a new, you know, office in Corpus. Right. But anyways, there was like this long hour long interview and it's more like a group pitch for like all these people that are, you know, coming in and you set them all up. Anyways, it was like an hour long. You go through this thing. So I was trying to figure out how to present right. And what they would tell me is, hey, just stick to the book. And if you just read it verbatim, like 100 times, and I was like, you want me to read this thing out loud for 100 times. And they go, yeah, just read it out loud 100 times. And I promise you'll get it down. You'll figure out how to do it. You know, your own personality will shine through.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever. So I just, I made this little like whiteboard tick marks and I put it in the dry erase. And I was like, dude, there's 100 times. But after I got to 100 times, I had this thing down. Like it was just memorized back of my mind.
And were you selling more? Like you were selling a lot after doing it?
Well, funny. So that wasn't the sales pitch. That was to recruit new salespeople coming in.
Gotcha.
So yeah, sorry, I didn't explain that. So the interview applicants would come in and I'd have a, you know, a big old room filled with like 50 people. We'd set up all the interviews at a time and just kind of do this pitch. And then people would be like, yeah, I think I want to sell knives with you, Abel. Let's go. And that's what I did. I recruited 18 to 24 year olds. And we had, you know, I don't know, we sold millions of dollars of knives when I was in college. But that repetition.
You repeat it, man. You do it
repetition. Okay. So, you know, we're not talking about knives. We're talking about multifamily.
Same thing though. It's the same thing. It's no different. It's no different.
How many times have you underwritten a deal? How many deals have you underwritten?
Thousands.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000?
Multiple thousands. Yeah. I mean, a lot. I know when I first started, I was doing like 30, 40 a week minimum myself. Now I have an underwriter who does the, I'd say the more button pushing side of things, you know, fills it out, does a research on the comp, send it over to me. Now I review it and look over and tweak it and whatnot, and then make the decision on what price to offer. But, you know, I mean, so many, it's like, I couldn't even count because that's all I did. And I, for the first 2 years, all I did was just analyze deal after deal, every deal I could even find, even if it wasn't something I really wanted to buy, I would just do it because for me, it was like, it was a practice thing and I enjoyed it. You know, a lot of people hate it. And even if you don't like it, I think you still need to try it and practice it because you need to understand it, right? And you might be better off, you know, if that's not your skill set, it's probably not the best use of your time to be doing that. And you should hire someone to do it or whatever, but you still need to understand it. So as the decision maker, you can make that final decision if it makes sense or not to buy, right?
100%. So in the beginning, it's literally Dave and David, and think about, you know, yourself as you're listening to this. You need to get your rent roll in the T12 and transpose the data yourself. Yep. And fill it in and make sure you're putting all the right data points. And you'll really see that every, you know, different teams put different line items and they label them differently. And you're like, well, yep, what the heck does this mean? But you
so that's why I've categorized them into the right, you know, I've kind of looked at so many that it's like I've started to create a very standardized format, categories that I see pretty much in everything. Right? You've got your contract services, insurance, payroll, legal professional fees, advertising, management fees, you know, taxes, utilities. And so you've got a turnover, right? There's all these, there's these standard set of about 15 to 20 categories on every deal that you'll see. Mm-hmm. And so I've started coming up and I would like to standardize that across the industry because I think some people do it a little differently, but for the most part, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. And so, but the process that you mentioned, I mean, you know, transposing and parsing out the T12 and rent roll, you know, that's what led me to create the software that's coming out here in March, because it is a process and that takes anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes just to run through these financials. And the software is going to do it in like 3 to 5 minutes for you. It's going to read whatever format T12 or rent roll you have. You just upload it, it reads it, and it's going to take those numbers and put it into the analyzer for you. It's going to skip that whole step of all the grunt work of parsing it out.
And now that you have a tool like this, I think it's key to mention, right, is in the beginning you did it yourself and you probably dealt with, well, I know you dealt with thousands, all the people that didn't want to give you the Excels and you have to freaking convert all your PDF. And anyways, now somebody helps you do that for you and you're the analyzer at the very end, you know, making sure all the deals work. So even when you have a tool like David's to help you, to be able to understand, you know, why normalizing an expense or why, you know, whatever, those components that you're looking, rent premiums, your value add, how much per unit, when you're looking through these data points, you need to be able to say, yeah, I like this. This is a deal I'm going to move forward with, right?
Exactly.
So
you need to get used to those like key metrics. I mean, there's a bunch of them, right? I mean, cap rate's probably one of the most obvious ones. But you know, starting to realize what does the price per door in a certain market look like in comparison to the size of the units and the average rents? Those are some of the first three things I ask for. If you tell me the year it was built, the price per door that they're asking, the average size of the units, and the average rental rate for the whole property, I can tell you pretty quickly if that's going to make sense or not, because I've looked at so many of these, right? Those four things. And so
repeat those four things again then.
Yeah. So the four things again are the asking price per door, the average size of the unit, the average rental rate, and oh gosh, I'm forgetting what was the first thing I said again?
Average per door, average size,
average size
unit,
of the unit,
average rent per unit.
Average rent per unit.
You said cap rate.
The cap rate, yeah.
It's kind of what we put us up.
Yeah.
But those things, you know, people look at this underwriting and they go, man, am I going to dive in there for like an, you may have taken like 30 minutes and knock it out. But me, when I was first starting, and maybe you at the beginning too, but that was like a couple of hours. I'm like, dude, oh, I don't even
four,
know.
Four, five, do this, 6 hours I would spend. Dude, I'd spend multiple days on one deal, just mulling it over and spending so much time, like more than I needed to, but just looking at every little thing. When I tweak this in the spreadsheet, what happens here? If I sell it in 3 years versus seven, you know, do I have to adjust my cap rate to compensate for the rent growth? Does this look unreasonable? Like, you know, all those little things. And so that's kind of molded into that spreadsheet I've built is through every time I found something that was inefficient, I built out a feature.
Yeah.
And there's probably some people would say, oh, well, you know, I think mine's pretty comprehensive, but there's some out there that are like super complex. And I'm like, dude, that's too much. I've built things out and I'm like, wait, this is a waste of time. I don't need this. I've bought properties very successfully without having that. There's a very simple way to do this that you don't need to overthink it too at the same time. You don't want to overcomplicate things, right?
Yeah.
Because it already takes enough time. You don't want it to take any more than it has to.
Yep.
You want it to get the job done.
I've kind of learned now that I look at more of them, I've learned that quick analysis, just like you kind of have in the very beginning, and does it make sense to go to the next step? And
yep.
If it makes sense based on, you know, David's qualifications, then you're like, oh, okay, this is kind of within range. Now let me look at deeper in the data. So this has been a really great conversation so far for general partners, people that are like really analyzing, putting offers out, trying to figure out which is the right property. How does all this stuff relate to like a passive investor? A passive investor, maybe think about it from their perspective for a minute. W-2, high earning professional, maybe they're business owner, they're trying to figure out where to put their capital. What tips, maybe one or two golden nuggets could you give them? They're not in T-12s, or most of the ones that I, you know, work with are not in T-12s and they're not in rent rolls and they're trusting you to do that. And, you know, give them some, you know, a couple nuggets to vet out, you know, my next deal. Hello, hello. You're listening to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. If you're enjoying this podcast, then I know you're serious about achieving financial freedom. Are you ready to create your own path through multifamily investing for yourself and your family? Then I know you're going to appreciate our investor's guide to multifamily investing. It's titled Tackling Commercial Real Estate the Easy Way. We use this guide to invest ourselves in $93 million worth of real estate. So we're going to show you the basic mechanics of multifamily syndications and how to evaluate your next passive investment opportunity. So the best part, if you subscribe to our podcast now, leave us a review and a rating, I'm going to give you a free copy of our ebook. So please take a moment to do that now. Once you've done that, go to 5tcre.com/ebook, 5tcre.com/ebook. Make sure to let us know you left a review and we're going to send you a free copy. So thank you so much for subscribing to the Five Talents Podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I would say the first thing, and you know, this might be a little bit of a generalization, but I think it's a good generalization. Ask, you know, figure out first, where's the deal that you're looking at? Is it in a major market? Okay, are you in Phoenix or Denver or Dallas, whatever it might be? Ask them, what is the medium that you're buying this through? Are you buying it through a broker? Okay, if you're buying it through a broker, ask them, did they go through a whole bidding round and get into the best and final and get into, you know, get their offer accepted after, you know, the broker went through a couple rounds of bidding people up? And in my opinion, I'm just saying my experience, and I've looked at probably 500 to 600 deals in the last 18 months and made hundreds of offers and bought 5 properties out of all that. Not a single one of those was from a round of bidding, best and final. I have not found a good deal where we've gone through a bidding round, a bidding war. Every one of those has ended with a price 10 to 15 to 20% above what I thought was the right price to pay for a certain property. And so when you find somebody and they're like, oh, we're in the best and final, and then, you know, we won the final offer, normally that process is designed to fetch the highest possible market rate for a property, not a good deal. The best deals I've ever bought are direct to seller, off market, never seen by someone else, which are, you know, they're out there, not easy to find, but they're out there. The ones where you get them from a broker off market, where they bring them to you and maybe a handful of people, and it worked out timing wise. I've gotten a couple of those. And then I think the best deals also have a story. I like telling stories about deals when I'm talking to investors. I think that's the best way not only to pitch a deal, but I think it's the best way to show that it's actually a good deal. Hey, I just bought a 230 unit portfolio from a family, 3 siblings. They inherited it from their dad who built them 45, 50 years ago. Wow. And it took me 12 months to close the deal. From last November until, well, not 12 months, like 10. From last November, we just closed them in September, early October. So just like 2 months ago. the property was super clean. Because the kids managed them, they're not really real estate people. They just kind of took over when the dad passed away. It was good timing. They wanted to get out of it. None of them really agreed on anything, and they were kind of like ready to part with it. And, you know, they first put it on the market too high of a price. They didn't use a broker who was a multifamily specific broker. So he didn't reach the masses in terms of all the buyers. I kind of came in at the right time. We sent a letter to the owners and we were able to deal directly with them. COVID hit. We got a really great price renegotiation and we were able to get an amazing basis on this project at like 55 to 60 a door on average when they're probably worth as is like 70, 75 a door.
Nice.
And the rents were, one of the properties is 11 property portfolio. And one of them I just bought on my own. It was 20 units. And I just raised, I put $25,000 into a unit. We raised the rent $850. So we're getting anywhere from $500 to $800 rent bumps on that property. It's a really nice little area.
How many units was that?
That was only 20 units on that one. But the rest of them all had built-in $200 rent increases doing nothing. $400 with a renovation. And so, you know, if I told you that as an investor, I mean, you're already in because it makes sense. There's a story behind it. There's financial knowledge backing it up, right? I'm giving you facts, rental comps. And so, you know, if I told you, I won a deal from a broker, you know, out of 40 people that bid on it, like, woohoo, like, okay, you just paid more than 40 other sophisticated investors, you know?
Hey, there you go.
That's the biggest thing.
The deal has to, one, it's probably off market, not going, you know, the best and final, not going to that. As I beat out 30 other people are like, yeah, you probably overpaid. Yeah. And then the story behind it makes a lot of sense. For those, I would say maybe passive investors, just really quick math. I was looking at, so 20 units, this increase, when David's telling the story, I go, okay, 20 units at 500 to 800. Let's just say they were all 500, even though they're not. Some are 8. 20 times 500, that's 10K times 12 months of rent. That's 120K divided by a freaking 5.5 cap rate, and that's like $2 million freaking dollars of like extra value.
I bought it for 1.3. It's going to be worth 3.5. We're all in at like 1.8.
Boom. You know? And those deals.
That was a dream deal. That's a sweetheart deal. The best one I've ever bought. That was the best deal I've ever bought. I mean, that was just a classic little, that was the best one in the whole portfolio too. And so
when was that?
Just closed on it like 2 months ago.
Okay. So help maybe, man, I have so many questions I want to ask you, but I get sidetracked because we're talking. But while we're on this topic, that was a 20 unit deal. For the most part, we hear, hey, 100 unit syndication, 100 plus unit syndication, 100 plus unit syndication. That's the way to go. Help us make amends with this in my mind.
You heard the numbers, right? I mean, that deal, it's going to make a lot of money, right? And it's only 20 units. We bought that whole portfolio. And so, we have one management company managing it all. And so for me, it just made sense. They're all within like a mile and a half, 270 units. And it's in my hometown in Michigan. I know the area super well. And so for me, it made sense to do those. It's just too good of a price to pass up. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. And then
you can make $1 million on a little deal like that, or you can go syndicate a 200 unit deal, get a small piece in it and maybe make 50,000. You know, I mean, it depends like how you do it. Yeah. So there's a million ways to skin a cat. I'm opportunistic.
Yeah. How many markets are you looking into deals today?
So all major cities in Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Atlanta, Indianapolis, and Michigan. Detroit Metro.
Okay. So also provide some visibility if you could. There's a number of deals you've analyzed. How many broker relationships do you have for those markets? Help us quantify this a little bit. And, you know, that's a lot of deals to be looking through, kind of the numbers that you mentioned, 500 to 600, even in the last year or so. How many, you know, relationships is that?
I would say 5 to 10 brokers in each city and some more, some less. Mm-hmm. And some I'm closer with than others. So it just kind of depends. But I'd say we have a network of about 75 to 100 brokers. And I would say I'm consistently talking to 15 to 30 of them.
Yeah. And they know you're real.
Yeah.
They know you're going to buy. Yep. They also know you're like passing on a ton of these deals. Mm-hmm. You know, by the numbers, it's 500. If you underwrote, you did 5. That's like 1%. How does that relationship work back and forth when they know, you know, you're going to pass on the majority.
That's just the game, man. I mean, brokers, their job is to sell deal for an owner, you know, at the highest price, you know, depending on the owner, or really if you're a good broker, it's to get it listed at a reasonable price so it'll move quick and you won't have to go through somebody backing out, right? The best brokers do volume of transactions, not just, if they can do twice as many transactions because they do them quicker, it's better than doing half as many at 10% higher prices. So a broker's job is to get a deal closed, first of all. That's how they get paid.
Yeah.
And they know that they're going to have, you know, 100, couple hundred people looking at every deal they put out and only one person can buy it. So they, I mean, you know, it's part of the game for them. They know there's going to be people that don't win every deal.
Yep. And the way you view that and the way you treat them and interact with them, you know, give us a little bit of this as well.
I mean, for me, it's like, you know, they're friends in business. We're business. You have a good business relationship with them. Meet up, we'll tour deals, go out to lunch, hang out, get dinner. And really our job is to just be in constant communication so that when they have a deal, hopefully an off-market deal, we're there at the right place and the right time for them to share it with us.
Yeah.
Because they're most likely to bring those off-market deals to the people they either work with the most or they've most recently talked to.
Yeah.
And so you just have to be, you know, it's the right place, the right time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's good stuff. And kind of moving, you know, a little bit further in the conversation as we go through this is now you're doing development on deals. I've seen you in some, you know, some video or some pictures with hard head on and you're out there. I'm like, hey, doing development now. Tell us about, man, you know, all the things that you're doing on that side.
Yeah. So Obsidian, we bought a piece of land a year and a half ago. And we got entitled and we are building 50 apartment units on there. Yeah, a little over 3.5 acres. Mm-hmm. North Austin in a city called Leander. It's absolutely booming. This whole mm-hmm. Austin metro area is. And it's a B+ class, a multifamily development. It's nothing crazy exciting in terms of amenities. It's very simple. We've got some garages. But that was the kind of product we wanted to go for. And we're going to be renting anywhere from $100 to $200 below the Class A competitors.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to fill up really quick because of that. We're nice, going to be a little cheaper.
New, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to be nice. They're going to be quality. They're not going to be like super high end, but we're, you know, we're going to have granite countertops, stainless steel, some vinyl plank flooring. They'll be basic, but they'll be very nice. And it's in a nice neighborhood by a school. And so I think it'll do really well. Our rents are from $1,000 to $1,250. We've got 46 two beds that are like 850 to 900 square feet and 4 1 beds that are around 650 square feet. So we started that. That should be done within the next 12 months and we'll start leasing up. And then we're working on 150 unit new development, just another 10 minutes north of that. And these are all like within 10, 15 minutes of where I live here, North Austin. And so that one's really exciting as well. So I would like to start 2 new developments a year going forward, at least. We're really bullish on that around here.
How are you guys financing? Are y'all doing new HUD loans or what's the 221 DR4 loans?
No. So the 50 unit was a local credit union called Amplify here in Texas, a regional bank, a regional credit union. And that went well. I think we got our terms were like 75% loan to cost, 2 years interest only during construction. Then it rolls into another 5-year term with a fixed rate of mid fours, like 4.5%. So not the best rate, but for that size of deal, it's too small for HUD, but it's construction, right? So it's not terrible compared to where the rates are today. And so, you know, easy to work with, easy draw process. So we like that. And it was pretty quick to get the loan. It's like 60 days. You know, HUD is what we're going for on this 150 unit. That is
for a little longer process.
Oh man, right? 10 to 12 months nowadays with how many people are in line with Forum. And it's a very strenuous. You need to have a team that is HUD experienced in terms of our, you know, builder and contractor and our architects. They need to have experience doing HUD loans and working on those. And so, you know, we've put together that team. And, you know, our civil engineers starting to work on, you know, all the entitlements and the surveying and topographical surveys and water easements and all these different things that you get into when you start looking at development and site planning is so much more in depth than just buying existing apartments. But that's why we're building in value into this, right? That 150 unit we're building for about $20 million, and it's going to be probably worth like mid to low $30 million when stabilized within a couple of years.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I'm doing the 221 for right now as well. And
oh, really?
Learning through all of the process and going through my, you know, I think we started it a couple months ago through the pre-concept part of it, but it's like, yep, there's the journey.
You guys got an invitation letter and now are you going for the pre-application or have you already done that?
We've already done that. We presented the concept board and kind of right there to their green or the green card. Hey, you've got your acceptance letter. Now at this point, it's like, hey, are we going to go this direct to firm or no? Like, let's go through the normal process. Okay. So I think we're trying to debate those two. But man, excited about everything. And
it's just a new process. I've never done it either. And you know, so I'm trying to learn a bunch about it. Who'd you go with?
You know, you mentioned using on this one, like for the lender.
Yeah, who's your lender?
For the HUD guys, I'm using Love or Dwight Capital. But they kind of have some expertise there. And for our side, that's what one of the things that we're learning is that expertise in every category makes the deal fly. So for those of you that are general partners or new general partners trying to figure out how in the world do I break into this world? You've heard this like a ton of times. I know you have, if you've been listening to these enough of my podcast or anybody else's, which is like you're leveraging a team. So David mentioned a couple of things. You know, this HUD process, even on this, is super hard, it's a lot of difficulty, whatever. But if you have an expert on the contractor side, on the developer side, on the architecture side, and the, you know, all the way through the lender, you know, every expertise in every one of them, then
it's going to be smooth.
They go, oh, don't cheap out. You've done this 50 times. You've done that 80 times. Oh, you've done this 100 times. Yeah. Here you go. And now Mr. Abel Pacheco, you know, first timer, is with a team that's done it 80 times.
Yeah.
And now you're like, you're one of the 80 times crew.
Yeah. So. Amen, dude. You have to. And I say this all the time, you know, for example, a legal team. A lot of people, I did when I started, because I guess I really didn't know the legal game. I hired some, you know, more affordable, but inexperienced legal team. Mm-hmm. And now wherever I am, you know, I have a team in Michigan and a team in Texas that handles all of our transactional and other legal work. And I hire the best. You know, I don't care if they're a little more expensive. I don't care if they're 25% more expensive. You know, I am hiring the best legal team because I want the best legal protection. And I want people who not only know what they're doing and can work efficiently, but I want people who have contacts. And our attorneys, like for example, Michigan, the ones I work with, they know everybody. They do tons of real estate transactions. They've worked with, you know, every title company. They know people at every bank. And so when I go into a transaction, regardless of how I'm structuring it, they're going to know people on one side or the other. And it makes it way easier to get deals done and to get over hurdles. And so I'll pay $20,000 or that 232 unit took 10 months. I had the $80,000 legal bill for that one deal. But, you know, there was different. There was 11 properties. So we bought deals. I had four different loans. Four different packages we bought them in. And so, you know, four different loans, I had four different, you know, closings, you know, it's all these different things. And so, but if I didn't have an experienced legal team, like that would have been hell for me.
Yeah.
And so it was worth it. It was really worth it.
Yep. There's the secret, right? There's the secret, man. You don't have to try to do it on your own. You need to partner up, find the best. And then if you're a good, smart underwriter, you just factor those in on the front end. And,
it's all factored into the deal.
Adjust your price accordingly. And then there you go. That's awesome. David, it's been amazing talking with you today. And I really appreciate your time. Maybe one or two more questions before we go. But before we get there, where do our, you know, listeners, viewers, if you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on your Apple Podcast or Stitcher, wherever you're on right now, where do we reach out to you, David? How do I get into your world?
Yeah. So the best way, if you're on social media, look me up on Facebook or Instagram. On Instagram, my handle is Real Estate Jedi. Facebook, just look up my name, David Tupin. You can go to my real estate company's website, obsidiancapitalco.com. I mean, if you want to look up my real estate community/software, it's realestatelab.com.
Right on. Thank you. Is there anything that during our time today I didn't highlight, you wanted to bring some exposure to, anything we didn't touch on at all?
No, man. I think the biggest thing, you know, for passive investors is to just understand, you know, work with experienced people, understand that who you're investing with, you know, you need to put a lot of trust in them because you're not going to be as knowledgeable most of the time about the industry and the deal as they will. So you do have to put a lot of trust in people. Don't be too over analytical and really just find a good sponsor to invest with that you trust.
Yeah.
And then for general partners, look at a lot of deals, you know? Don't give up.
I mean, there's some good sage advice, man. Just look at a ton of them and you'll understand a little bit more. Okay, this one's a good deal. This one's not a good deal. So I love it. Dig into it. And then, you know, I did have a, you know, last maybe question or two on like just general, you know, I don't want to say limiting beliefs, right? The ability to say, man, I can actually do what David's doing. I can do commercial multifamily real estate. And, you know, coming from someone, you know, I hate to make age a factor, but it's a big factor. It's hard to break in when you're younger and you manage to do that. So there's some working professionals. There's some people that have established a long, successful track record, professional career that are listening now, I'm sure, that are like, I can't do this. I've got so many obstacles or limiting barriers between me. I can't do that. But man, you managed to break through that stuff. You know, give us a little bit of this mindset and, you know, just how you did it, brother.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, if I could do it, I think anyone could do it. You know, it's really a matter of how bad you want it. And if you want it bad enough, you're willing to do whatever it takes and figure it out. If you're not, what I've found after talking to so many people is a lot of people say they want to do it and get into it, but really they don't put in the time or the effort to make it happen. And so in my opinion, you know, they just don't want it bad enough. But the people like you, people like me, my friends I know that are doing this, they really make a huge effort and put in a lot of time to you know, really master this business. And I don't think you can half-ass it. I think you really have to, you know, put in a lot of time and enjoy doing it, because it's hard to put a lot of time into something if you don't enjoy it. So if you enjoy it and you really want it bad, you're gonna put in the time. You're gonna put in 1,000 hours or whatever 10,000 hours it is to perfect something. Like, you're gonna put that time in to make it work, and you're gonna make sure you're doing it right.
Yeah, I love it, man. Put in the time, put in effort. You can't.
There's no secret sauce, man. Yeah. There's no. It's like anything. There's really no secret. A lot of people ask. There's no secret. You're gonna put in the time, or you're not gonna put in the time.
Absolutely, man. No shortcuts. Put in the time. Do the cycles. Do the work. And if you don't know how, that's one thing. That's where you find education and coaches, mentors. You look up Dave's, you know, video series. You watch it 1,000 times. Whatever it takes. Ask questions, and then once you know what to do, then you've got to repeat that thing hundreds of thousands of times. So that's awesome, man. Well, David, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And if you've heard something on this podcast, this interview that you appreciated, I would encourage you, reach out to David. I'm sure he'd love to, for you to get in his world. And then myself as well. Subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And my name is Abel Pacheco. You can reach out to me at 5tcre.com. If you want to get it closer to me in our world, we'd love to have you. And you know, it's a great, great conversation. Thank you very much, David.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you. This is fun.
All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the 5 Talents Podcast with your host, myself, Abel Pacheco. Each week, we're going to bring you interviews from industry experts and commercial real estate investors who followed their dreams and achieved massive success. Before you leave, let me ask you a few questions. Did you enjoy this episode? Did you learn something valuable? Was your mind stretched to what's possible and what you can achieve? Do you want other experts just like the one you heard today? If you answered yes to any or all of those questions, then please take a moment to subscribe to the 5 Talents Podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and most importantly, leave us a written review. Tell us what you liked, tell us your favorite guest, give us any feedback. I'm excited to learn and improve so you can get a more valuable show. So thank you again for subscribing to the 5 Talents Podcast.